You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Well, welcome. If you have not been with us before, we are in the midst of a series called Guardrails. And while that does make me cringe, something else that causes me to cringe quite often is to think about some of the friends that have been a part of my life. That it seems like God has placed them there to bring a certain level of, shall we say, humility. We would say humility in the Christian realm. Maybe outside the Christian realm, it might be just embarrassment. Do you guys have friends like that? Maybe this will help jog your memory. Maybe you have something similar to this. I was down in L.A., and we had taken a group of interns down there, and we were in a place called, we were at a place that's an outreach, a ministry. It's a church called the Dream Center, and they would reach out to places. If you've heard of a place called Skid Row or a place called Tent City, that's the places that we were going and handing out food and being a blessing to the people, and it was so great. I mean, this is, you talk about poverty, this was just immense poverty. People were living in cardboard boxes, scrounging for food, and we had an opportunity to be a blessing to them. And one of the things that this church did at the Dream Center is that they would bring all the people that were on the streets and the kids and anybody they could find, and they would invite them to come to their church. They were doing an outreach that evening, and on Friday night, I believe it was, that they would have an outreach that it sort of looks something like a boxing ring where it's dark all around in the arena of the church, and like on the stage, which is this really bright light. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of have that mental image. And there had these amazing dancers that were up there. And they would dance, and this Dream Center, they would literally attract people from around the U.S. to be a part of what they were doing. And so these dancers, they were top-notch. And it was so cool to kind of sit near the front row and watch all that was going on. We were having such a great time enjoying all those taking place around us. And once the dancers got done, the announcer comes and he stands up on the stage and he says, "All right, can we give the dancers a hand?" Everybody gives the dancers a hand. And he says, "Okay, so is there anybody out here who wants to come and showcase some of your dance talent? Anybody out here wants to do that?" And I'm sitting there in LA thinking, oh, this is good. I mean, for once in my life, I'm not standing out. There are some of, shall we say, my people. There's some black people around, you know, just like sitting out. I'm not standing out. Definitely somebody else is going to be picked here. And lo and behold, out of all the people in the place, he turns and looks at me and says, "Yes, you, sir. You, come on up. Come on, let's give him a hand." And everybody's clapping. And I'm thinking, how? How in the world, of all the people? And I turn and look, and here's all of my friends and interns doing this. And so I went up on the stage and attempted some sort of break dancing. Paulsville didn't really give me that skill. I have rhythm, but break dancing, it was just more broken. And I went back, and I came back, and you know that death glare that you give people? It's that sense of, like, you will pay. Whether it's here on earth or in heaven or wherever we may end up, you will pay for what has taken place. That's the glare that I gave them as I walked back to my seat. You know, we have friends like that, don't we? They come around, it's like God's blessed us with them just to keep us where we need to be, a little bit of humility in our lives. You know, I bring that up because we are in this series called Guardrails. And with guardrails, it's really important for us to understand what they're about. They're a system to help keep vehicles from straying into destructive areas. And the thing about guardrails, there's so much that could be said about them, but a couple of things that seem important. One is that guardrails are never placed down in the place of destruction. And I use that word destruction on purpose. They're never placed in the spot of destruction. They're placed usually on the road, not sitting in the ravine or in the ditch or on the very edge. They're sitting on the road so that we bump up against them before we go into the place of destruction. The other thing we need to remember about guardrails is that it hurts to hit a guardrail. We saw that on the screen. I mean, I can only imagine the people that hit that thing. They were hurting. But I can tell you what, it would be so much worse if the guardrail wasn't there and they went to the other lane, or if the guardrail wasn't there and went flying off into the place of destruction. And so it's important for us to have those in place, because the reality is, when we have guardrails in place on the road, then we're more likely to get to the destination that we had in mind. Now, granted, we might be beat up a little bit more because of what life throws at us, but the probability that we'll make it will be a whole lot more. And so over these past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the necessity of guardrails. Tom has taken the first week to really unpack a whole lot more about what a guardrail is, what it isn't, and why it applies to our life. Then he talked about the need to have guardrails in the places of sexual morality. It's important for us to consider what guardrails we're going to put in place there. And then we unpacked the last week the need to just go do it, because it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to actually start to apply them to our lives. And yes, as we've been talking about crazy people in our lives that we have, there's a need to have guardrails even in our friendships. And that's what I wanted to invite us to consider this morning. Because the thing is that Jesus, he's on the move. You see, when Jesus came, there was a sense in which there was a movement, there was purpose, there was passion in the way that he lived his life. And then when he ascended back to heaven, there was a movement in the way that he called us. The church was never meant to be stagnant. It was to be one that was on the move, on a mission with what Jesus was doing. In fact, Jesus says these words. He says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." There's this movement that Jesus has. And whether we like it or not, the place that Jesus tends to move is to the places of darkness. It's not the places of light, because he is light. So he's moving towards the darkness. And there's this, the author, Matthew, he talks about a little bit of his experience with this. He says later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, again, Pharisees are the people who were supposed to be the keepers of the law, the people who were supposed to be and I guess in our day, they would be pastors. People would likely have good hearts, but somehow something got changed where they were missing life right in front of them. When those people came and they saw this, they asked Jesus' disciples, they said, listen to these words. "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" Why does he eat with such scum? If you grew up with the NIV, then the phrase might have been this: why does your teacher eat with such sinners? What's wrong with him? And Jesus, after he heard this, he responds to what they had to say. He said, "You know, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. For I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." That's where I'm headed. That's the trajectory that I'm on. I'm moving into darkness. I'm moving to the places where people are in need. But the people around them didn't get it. And as Jesus stepped back for a moment, he just takes a moment to say, "This is what this generation is like." And he starts to think about his relative, John the Baptist. He says these words. He says, "John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man," speaking of himself, "on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard." And here's the other title that you've given him, that he's a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. "But wisdom will be shown right by its results." You see, that's the wildness of Jesus. It's almost like he's if you can imagine with me, like if you were to have a lodge. Some of you are skiers, some of you are snowboarders, you like to go up in those places, and there's something nice about the lodge, isn't it? I mean, the lodge, after you've been out in the cold for a while, it's a nice spot to get comfy and cozy. There's usually a nice warm fire going on there. You can get your hot cocoa, and it feels real good. And it's like he has a place like that, and then he heads out into the darkness. And as he does, he finds us there. In our brokenness, in our shame, in our hurt, in our darkness, he goes and he finds us and he pulls us back. I don't know how he gets us there, but somehow we end up back at the lodge. And no sooner do we start to get to this place where our toes are starting to get circulation again, our hands are starting to feel good. You know, I was with my son yesterday and we were out riding our bikes, and I wore gloves, he chose not to, and halfway, once we got back into the car, he said, "Dad, my hands just hurt." And I'm like, yeah, son, because you didn't wear gloves. I told you to wear the gloves, but you didn't want to. He's like, yeah, well, that's life. And so as we got in the car, I'm like, blow on your hands so they start to warm up. And the feeling starts to come back. And there's those moments where you're at the lodge and things start to come back. Feeling starts to come in. And it's no sooner than that happens than it seems as if Jesus says, hey, there's other people that are out in the darkness. I'm going out there. Come on with me. Let's go. And I wonder for us what our response is in those moments. You know, it's often what we find ourselves doing is polarizing, don't we? Some of our response is one like this, saying, uh-uh, I'm not going back out there. I just came from there. Do you remember that? It's dark, it's cold, it's wet, it's icy, it's dangerous. I mean, tell me, why would I trade in something like this to go to a spot like this? No, I think I'll just stay right here. You go do your Jesus thing. I'll be fine with my nice little cozy spot here. And if we don't respond that way, then for many of us, I think we find ourselves responding with this kind of trailblazing mentality that says, Jesus said go, so I'm going. And out we go. And we end up going so fast that it's like we just get out of the place with a scarf on our bodies and we go get on a moped and go trudging through the snow like we're going to make a difference. And we forget to invite Jesus. We forget to have Jesus be the one to lead the way. And he's sitting there going, wait, I thought I was supposed to be. Oh, well, they're gone. You know, I get this place, especially since having kids. The sense of wanting to stay at the lodge where it's nice. I mean, if I could have my kids just be locked up till they're about 35 or so with some Veggie Tales, you know, I mean, the great Christian morals and principles as they just grow up. Because you know, I mean, there's people out there that want to harm them. There's people out there, it's dangerous out there. And so there's this sense of like, it would just be nice to stay here. And in our own lives, just to be with people and nice, it's warm and cozy. And there's something so good about that. But of course, the question that we have to ask is, how is it that we can call ourselves followers of Jesus if he's headed back out there and we're staying here? How is it that we can befriend the darkness in such a way that we actually bring the light of who Jesus is if we stay here? And you know, I get the other side too. There's parts and times in the Bible when I read it, it's just like I see it, and it's just like God said to do it, so I'm going to go do it. It makes sense. Like it's like, man, rah, I get that. See it, go do. Go kill, eat, whatever. And so there's moments in the Bible where it's like, I found myself at moments where, I mean, when no one's looking, I'll be at a point, no point. And it's like, this could be the day. And so I'll just see if the day is I can step on the water. So I'll just try it out every once in a while. It hasn't worked yet, but I'll try it just to see, like, could this be the day? I mean, it worked for Peter. Could it work for me? That would be really cool. It's like, I get that. You know, there's when I was a student ministries pastor, I would have students come up to me quite often. And what they would ask, you know, Mario, I'm just wondering, would Jesus say it's okay for me to go to this party? I mean, there's a great party this weekend. Would it be okay? Can I go? And usually my response would be, no, I don't think Jesus would say it's good for you to go. And they even in asking that question, it's like they know they're setting me up. They think they've got me set up, right? Because their next response is, well, you just preached that Jesus went to the dark places, and you just preached that Jesus was on a mission, and you said, so why can't I go to the party? And I often respond with this, well, you know, Jesus also woke up very early in the morning to pray. Are you doing that? And their response was, no. And I say, well, you know, it's a package deal. If you're going to go out into the darkness, you need to spend time with the light. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. You see, because if we are people who simply go trailblazing out without light himself, the reality is that we end up being no different than the people in darkness. And so we have to have the one who is light being the one in front of us. So how do we navigate this realm of friendships well? How do we be people who don't just stay at the lodge, but who don't go trailblazing out? You see, we have to be people who are willing to hold that intention. As Christians, we get to live in that tension. Will you step into it? And as I talk about befriending well, here's what I want us to keep in mind, is really this idea of being people who keep the relationship of God intact, while also being people that keep the dreams of God being ones that we look to fulfill those. To have a relationship with God that continues to grow, but the dream of God to reach out to those that are in darkness, that we can be light for them. How do we hold those intact? And I would say that the way to do that is to consider having guardrails in our lives. You see, the Bible speaks real clearly about relationships, how we're to enter into friendships well. And two words I want us to kind of key in on. The first one is this, direction. And the other one, influence. Direction and influence. One way to think about it is this, that the amount of influence a friend has in your life should be based on the direction that they're headed in. I'll say it again. The amount of influence that a friend has in your life should be based on the direction that they're headed in. See, the Bible really only splits it two ways. Either you're headed towards light or you're headed towards darkness. Either you're headed towards heaven or you're headed towards hell. Either you're headed towards goodness or you're headed towards evil. And based off of that, that should start to talk about how you influence or how you will allow someone to influence your life. So two ways, two areas to think about. The first one is this, is that we need friends who passionately follow Jesus. Make no mistake, they're needed in our lives. There's something good. There's goodness to be found in coming along beside people who are passionate followers of Jesus. Hebrews says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now as the day of his return is drawing near. You know, in Proverbs 13, Solomon, who writes, he says, he starts off by saying that he or she who walks with the wise grows wise. There's something about being around wise people. There's something good about being with wise people. Wise, in fact, Solomon kind of gives a definition for what it means to be wise. He says it's a person who fears the Lord. I know we don't necessarily use that word fear so often, or we get it confused, or like fear, what does that mean? Maybe a word that we want to substitute is the idea of worship. Worship meaning that we hold high awe of God, high gratitude for God. People that do that and live into that, that's the people that we want to surround ourselves around. He says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Because here's the deal about wise people. You see, they get that the world's connected. They understand that what takes place now has an impact on tomorrow. They understand that the way that we date now will impact the way that our relationships and our marriage will be later on. They understand that the way that we spend our finances now will have an impact on what happens tomorrow. They understand that the way that we have relationships will have an impact on our relationships in the future. There's a connectedness to life that wise people get. And what the Bible makes clear is saying, get around people like that. Get around people who are passionate for God, who understand the ways of God. Get around them, learn from them, because as you are, it's almost as if something just rubs off. As you walk with them, you just become a wiser person. But yet the Bible also speaks about our need to not completely disengage. We're also to be people who befriend unbelievers. But we should not be connected to unbelievers in such a way that they influence us away from Christ. Paul, as he's writing in 2 Corinthians, and this might be a place if you have your Bibles, I just invite you to turn there. In 2 Corinthians verse 6, or you can see it up on the screen there. He says these words, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? Or if you had the NIV, Christians in essence be yoked with unbelievers? I mean, anytime I hear the word yoke, that's just a word that sticks in my mind. I can't forget that one. He goes to say, how can light be with darkness? And he goes on to ask these questions. How can the temple of God be with the temple of Satan? How can these two polar opposites be together? And you know, for many of us, we can take scriptures like this and we can use them for a real good reason to stay at the lodge. We can pull scriptures like this out of context and say, this is where we're supposed to stay. We're simply supposed to be with Christians. We're simply supposed to be people with people around here because we don't want to be unequally yoked, or we don't want to be team up with people like this. But what I want to suggest is that that is not what Paul is talking about in this passage. In fact, Paul earlier in 1 Corinthians says, you know, if you're going to simply try to make sure that your lives were nice and away from any type of wickedness, you would have to leave the earth. You can't do that. No, this passage is not an issue of trying to disengage from darkness completely. But in fact, as we continue to read on, what we see is Paul putting that passage into context. So you have to move on. If you're a Bible app person, you have to press next to get to chapter 7. If you have your Bible, you can go to chapter 7. We'll see a little bit more of what he says. Because after he asks all these questions about light and darkness and this huge gap between the two, he ends with this. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. You see, he's not saying that we need to be people who stay completely away from darkness, but he's saying that as we engage darkness, we need to be people who become aware. Are we now becoming defiled in our body and our spirit? Because if so, then we likely know that we're bumping up against something. And we need to step back and start to ask questions about how that relationship is going. It's not one to completely disengage. You see, in this realm of talking about wise people, there's also the realm that Solomon talks about at the end of that passage. He says that those who walk with the wise grow wise. And the second part is this, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You see, foolish people are people who know truth but choose not to engage it. Foolish people are people who don't understand the connectedness of life. They think that they can do whatever they want here and now. They can be with whoever they want here and now, and it has no impact on tomorrow. So they indulge in whatever it is, thinking it'll be okay, only to wake up the next day and realize that they find themselves in a cycle. You see, if we're to surround ourselves with holy, and that's all that we are, as people around like that, the Bible says that's not good either. And so some way, somehow, we have to be able to sit in the tension, to be people who don't just sit in a place that's like the lodge, but also don't go running out. We need guardrails. Paul was offering a guardrail to the people of Corinth. Was saying when it starts to defile, we got to back up. We got to ask certain questions. You see, wisdom would guide us by saying that people that influence us the most should have a direction towards God. You know, we can't stay at the lodge, and we can't go blazing out in front of Jesus. And the reality is this, the roads, they're dangerous. They're dangerous. Temptation comes, things come our way that are very dangerous. And I hope you recognize, I want to talk about the difference between danger and destruction, because they're two different things. Jesus moves into places of danger, invites us into them. And yet, he invites us in such a way that if we choose to walk in wisdom ways, we don't have to fall into places of destruction. So what would it look like to be a person that chooses right now, in places right now where there's a level of safety, to choose to put guardrails up in our lives? So that as we navigate the roads of life, as we come into the places where temptation comes, as we engage darkness, as Jesus leads the way, instead of going flying off the edge, we might likely instead hit a guardrail instead and realize that we might need to back up in those moments. Because the reality is, I believe that for most of us, if not for all of our hearts, there's something inside of us that longs to see the heart and life of Jesus be lived in and through us. I believe there's something inside of us that says we want to live out the dreams of God. But for so many of us, because we don't have guardrails in our lives, we're afraid to move. There's just a few guardrails that I wanted to offer. And you know, that's been our pattern throughout this series to say, you know what, these aren't the things that if you have to do these things. Likely for you, for your family, you've come up with your own different set of guardrails that you've placed in your life. but likely there's many of us who haven't. And so I wanted to offer some as some guidelines, as maybe something you can use. Maybe you'll make up your own, maybe you won't. But you know, when it dawns on you that those closest to you are not moving in a direction you want to be moving, you might be bumping up against a guardrail. This is why we have growth groups, and this is why we talk about it so much, and this is why we say, hey, get in a group of people that are moving in a direction that you want to go. If you're not a part of one, sign up, get in one. If the people that are closest to you, the people that are influencing you the most, are not moving in a direction towards life, you're likely bumping up against a guardrail. Maybe one you want to consider is that you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you really are. You might be bumping up against a guardrail. Maybe you need to put that in place to be aware. When somebody comes alongside and says, hey, you know what? You kind of act different when you're with that person. Maybe that should be something that kind of rings for you. The last one is this. I invite you to consider is, you know, when you hope the people that you care about most don't find out where you've been or who you've been with, those are places where you'd be thinking, I might be starting to slide out of control here. You see, we can engage this world much like the way that the world does and be people who say, you know what, I'm going to see how close I can get to danger without actually falling over the edge. I'm going to see how close I can get to destruction and see how close I can get without falling over the edge. Or we could be more like the people of God who ask a different question. And really, this is my heart, this is my desire for us, that we would ask the question, how can I set myself up to fulfill God's destiny for my life? Isn't that the kind of people that we want to be? Isn't it? To ask a different set of questions. Say, how can I set myself up well that God's plan, God's destiny, God's purpose, what he has for me will be lived in and through my life? You see, if we're going to be people like that, then we have to step back and look for wisdom. And wisdom is often found by choosing to put guardrails up in our lives. And the time to do that is not when you're out on the slippery roads. The time to do that is not when you're out in the midst of danger. The time to do it is in the places in which you're able to come together. You have chosen to take time out of your week to come together as a body, as a church body. I'm saying take advantage of it. As Jesus speaks to you, would you respond to him? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to take a moment to pray. You know, I recognize that some of us in this place, in fact, many of us in this place you've done the hard work. You've done the hard work of having conversation with God. And it's because of people like you throughout our church history, it's why this church has been so great for the kingdom of God. It's because there's people who get it, who get, yes, I need to grow up in Christian relationship, but I also need to go out and follow Jesus and draw people into the heart of God. And so for those of you that are in that place, I say, keep doing it. Keep going after it. Don't grow weary in it. Because I know sometimes it's dangerous and it's hard, it's slippery. Sometimes you feel like you're running out of control. People look at you like you're funny. You have people who are saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you hanging out with such scum? Keep doing it. Keep going after it. And yet I recognize that there's some of us in this place who, if we're to be honest, if we're to look at our lives, we're really good at having people in our lives that have a trajectory towards God. But as we look, there's no one in our lives that we're truly influencing towards Christ. And the call is to move to a place of confession and repentance. And say, Jesus, I need you to step into this area of my life. I confess. I repent. Would you forgive? Some of us, for whatever reasons, end up blazing out. Maybe because we think that we can do it on our own, or maybe we just decide that, you know, I'm going to try to do this thing somehow, some way to somehow be so culturally relevant that we end up missing Jesus and the light that he brings, and we look no different. And our prayer is not that much different, is it? To confess and say, Jesus, I come back to you. I want you to lead the way. I want you to be the one to blaze a trail. That we could all be people who would say now in the times where it's not so treacherous, in times right now where we're not being tempted by so many things, to say, God, what guardrails would you put up in my life? What would you have me do so that I can follow you wherever it is you would have me go? That your name might gain fame, that you might be glorified. And for those of us in this place that are saying, if God is a God who rescues, even in the midst of my darkness, and I want to have him in my life, I want to pray for you too. And you may not have all the words, but I'll even just pray some for you. And maybe you just say the same words in your own heart to say, Jesus, come into my life. And so I invite us all into a place of prayer. Let's do that. Jesus, we come before you with so many different places that we come in this realm of friendships. Some of us, as we look at our lives, we don't have people that we're influencing towards you. There's really no one around our lives. We've really surrounded ourselves well, full of people that have a trajectory towards you, but we really don't have anybody that we're influencing, that we're impacting towards your kingdom. We haven't followed you into the dark places. We ask your forgiveness for that. Pray, God, for boldness. Pray, God, for the places where there's fear, would you replace it with your boldness? God, let us be people who learn to have guardrails and set them up even now so that we can move into those places with a renewed confidence that you will guide, that you will direct, that even in the midst of the danger, we don't have to find ourselves in places of destruction. And Father, I pray for those in this place that find themselves constantly trailblazing, constantly moving out towards you. And it seems so often that sometimes we end up get going so fast that we end up blasting right through and finding ourselves in places of destruction ourselves. Jesus, would you pick us off? Dust us off. Pick us up, dust us off. Bring us back to you. Bring healing to our hearts in the places where we failed over and over again. Would you bring great, wise counsel into our lives that we may grow into all that you have for us, that we can be an influence for those that we come in contact with? Teach us your ways, O Lord. And Father, for all of us, would you help us consider where our guardrails need to be so that we would honor you by following you well into the darkness, so that we can have great relationship with you and at the same time be propelled to draw people the way that you desire for them to be drawn, that all people may come to know you. We want to be a part of that. And finally, I pray for my friends in this place who are saying in their hearts, Jesus, if you are a God who saves, if you are a God who rescues, you are a God who understands that there's a connectedness, I want to be a person like that. Would you come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me from within, take my sin and make me new, breathe life into me, and allow me to be a person who follows you wherever you go. That's my heart, that's my desire. And I say thank you, Lord, that even as I pray that, you answer with your kindness and your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to say to a couple of us, if you prayed that prayer, to say, you know, I want Jesus in my heart and in my life, I want to say, first of all, welcome to the family of God. That's a good place to clap. And the second thing I want to say to you is this, as you leave, maybe you're new to Gateway, maybe you're not, get in community. And if you're trying to figure out how to do that, back at our information desk, there's ways that talk about how you can get connected to community. Or you can go online to our website at gatewayfellowship.com and get connected to community. That's how we grow. We need people in our lives that will move us in the right direction. And I want to pray a prayer of blessing over us as we go. Because I truly believe as we walk out of this place, you get to enter into dangerous places. But the good news is that when we choose to have the Spirit of God lead the way, we don't have to be afraid. Because God is one who fights for us. Jesus, I pray blessing over your people. Blessing. Bless them immensely. Bless them with all of heaven. Give them everything, I pray. And God, may they keep none of it for themselves. May they use it to continue to advance your kingdom, to see your fame grow in this area. God, I pray that you would give us courage as we go. There would be people that choose to step into the darkness with your light, with your leading. God, may your face shine on us. May you bless and keep us. May you be gracious to us. And may the peace of who you are go before us, I ask. In the mighty and strong name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Enjoy the week. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.